This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So we continue tonight inshaAllah with our program about tafsir, thematic tafsir. And tonight we will study one ayah that is called Ayat al-Tathir, and it is found in the verse of purification, and it is found in Surah Al-Ahzab, and it is about the family of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayti wa yutahhirakum tathira." So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah and Allah only wishes to remove all abomination or sins from you, O Ahlul Bayt, people of the house, and to make you pure and spotless. يُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, يعني it means to purify you with extensive purification. Because the word تطهيرة here is tawkid in the Arabic language. And as I said, the ulama called this ayah, Ayat al-Tathir, which is 33. Yani the chapter of Al-Ahzab is 33. And the ayah, the verse, the number of the verse is 33. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the wives of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as you can see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, Ahlul Bayt. And he's obviously talking about the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the members of his household. And since it is an obligation for every Muslim to love the family of the Prophet, treat them with respect, and there are some Sharia rulings concerning them, then we have to recognize them. We have to know who are the family of the Prophet. Because there is a controversy between different groups about who are the family or the members of his family, alayhi salatu wasalam. Are they his wives and his children? Are they Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, his wife Fatima, al-Hasan al-Husayn radiallahu anhum ajma'in? Are they Banu Hashim, the family of Hashim, his grandfather, or his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, or those who were denied or forbidden to take the zakat? We know that the members of his family are forbidden to take from zakat. They are not allowed to take from zakat. So tonight, inshallah, we'll try to discuss what our ulama, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what did they say about the family or the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And first of all, we have to distinguish between his descendants, alayhi salatu wasalam, and between Ahlul Bayt. The term Ahlul Bayt is more comprehensive, is more inclusive. And when we talk about the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu, his grandchildren, those who come through his children, and the only child that survived him, alayhi salatu wasalam, is Fatima radiallahu anha. All of them died, passed away before his death, alayhi salatu wasalam. The only one who was left after him is Fatima, and of course all his descendants are from his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. So he got married first with Khadija radiallahu anha, and all his children are from Khadija Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, except Ibrahim. He was from Maria al-Qibtiyya, Mary the Copt. So his elder son was Al-Qasim, and then Abdullah, and then Ibrahim. Al-Qasim and Abdullah from Khadija, Ibrahim from Maria Al-Qibtiyya. And his daughters are Zainab, Kulthum, Ruqayya, and Fatima radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Al-Qasim passed away when he was a child, Abdullah passed away when he was a child, and Ibrahim, he passed away when he was a child too. They mention some names among his children, At-Tahir and At-Tayyib. And the most correct view, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, that At-Tahir and At-Tayyib are nicknames for his son Abdullah. So he has only Al-Qasim, Abdullah, Zainab, and Ruqayya, Kulthum, and Fatima, six children from Khadija radiallahu anha, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam from Maria Al-Qibtiyya. As I said, all of them died before him alayhi salatu wasalam, except for Fatima radiallahu anha. She passed away after 6 months after he passed away alayhi salatu wasalam. So all his descendants are from her two children, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn radiallahu anhuma. As for these are his descendants alayhi salatu wasalam. He had Umama bint Zainab. Umama was the daughter of his daughter Zainab. She was his granddaughter. And she survived after him. She got married with Ali ibn Abi Talib after Fatima passed away, because Fatima is her aunt. And actually Fatima told him to get married with Umama. She was her niece. It's haram to combine for a man to get married with a woman and her niece at the same time. But if she passes away or he divorces the woman, then he's allowed to get married with her niece. So this matter has to be clear here. But Ali ibn Abi Talib, after Fatima passed away, when she was sick, she made a wasiya and she asked him to get married with Umama, her niece, bint Zainab. She was married with Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', her cousin. And Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi', he was from the people of Mecca who participated in the Battle of Badr against the Muslims. And he was one of the prisoners. And he refused to declare his Islam in Medina. He went to Mecca. He gave all the debt. He paid all his debts. And his financial obligations, he dealt with his financial obligations, came back to Medina and he declared his Islam after he was freed. Like he was a prisoner from among the prisoners of Badr, radiallahu anhu. So he went to Mecca and then he came back with he sent his wife Zainab, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was pregnant at that time and someone tried to scare her. She was about to lose her child. But after a year suffering from that incident, she passed away in the 8th year of the Hijrah of Rasulullah in Medina. But before that, her husband joined her. They had one daughter, Umama, radiallahu anha. And she is the granddaughter of Rasulullah, but we don't know that she had children. Some of them, they said, some of the historians, they said she got Muhammad al-Awsat for Ali. And after Ali passed away, she got married with someone else from Banu Hashim, Al-Mughira ibn Nawfal, and they say that she got another girl from him. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, some historians, they said, didn't have children. But what we know as a fact, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have descendants except through Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the two sons of Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhumah. So these are his descendants, alayhi salatu wasalam, through Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And as for the term Ahl al-Bayt, the ulama, they said it is more comprehensive. So it includes his wives, radiyallahu anha, anhunna, ummahat al-mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. May Allah be pleased with them. And it included ashab al-kisa. Who are ashab al-kisa? Al-kisa is the mantle. We'll talk about their story. They are Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anh. May Allah be pleased with him. And Fatima radiallahu anha. And Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. These four people. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are Ahlul Kisa. Kisa, as I said, is a mantle or a cloak. We'll talk about it. And they said it includes also Ahlul Bayt. The term Ahlul Bayt includes those who were forbidden to get the zakat, to receive zakat after him. And they mentioned four families or five families. The family of Ali and his descendants, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The family of Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas and his family. Al-Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. And the family of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Ja'far was his cousin, radiallahu anhum. Aqil ibn Abi Talib and his family was his cousin, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they said the family of Al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib. Al-Harith was one of his uncles, alayhi salatu wasalam, but his children accepted Islam. And they were alive at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It might include others. There are some honorary members of Ahlul Bayt like Salman al-Farisi. Salman, he's not part of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But one time, the Muhajirun and the Ansar were having a dispute. The Muhajirun, they said, Salman is one of us. And because everyone respected Salman at that time, al-Farisi, and they loved him, radiallahu anhu. And the Ansar used to say, no, Salman is one of us. So they were having a dispute. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, be quiet, Salman is minna ahlul bayt. So Salman is one of us, ahlul bayt. So he's not part of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not from Banu Hashim, but he is an honorary member of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant it. When he made this statement, he meant it. He was not joking, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. It includes also some of the children of Abu Lahab. He was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not accept Islam. But all his children accepted Islam except one. His name is Utayba. I think he did not. He died as a kafir. But Utba and Mu'attib and all his daughters, three daughters, accepted Islam at the time of Fath Makkah. When Makkah was conquered, the time of the conquest of Makkah, they came to Rasulullah al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, brought them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they accepted Islam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy with their Islam, with their conversion. So, and they are from Banu Hashim. So they are included in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when talking about his wives, alayhi salatu wa sallam, the majority among the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, majority of them, 90% of them, they believe that his wives are members of his family. Why? Because of this ayah that we mentioned. The ayat that are in Surah Al-Ahzab, from ayah 30 to ayah 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the wives of the Prophet. So in this ayah, before ayah 33, what I mentioned before is what part of ayah 33. If we go back to ayah 32, because there are people who believe, no, Ahlul Bayt, his wives are not included among Ahlul Bayt. Are not. And some of them believe that all of them will go to hellfire except for Khadija, maybe, and maybe one or two. They will be in Jannah. And they are not from Ahlul Bayt. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the wives of the Prophet in Surah Al-Ahzab. So he said in this ayah 32, talking about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here clearly, O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech when talking to other people, when talking to men, especially men. لا تخضعنا بالقول خضع بالقول. You know, when a woman started changing her voice, this is haram, making her voice soft when talking to another man who is not a mahram. So Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, talking to the wives of the Prophet, do not do it when you talk to other men, to the sahaba, lest he in whose heart is disease should yearn, should have a desire. If someone, he has a sickness in his heart, when talking to him, this way he might have a desire. And you are the wives of the Prophet. It does not befit your status that you talk this way to other men. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the wives of the Prophet. But speak with appropriate speech. So the voice of a woman is not awra. If she speaks with appropriate speech, a normal speech, if she goes outside to the market to buy and sell, or she goes to the doctor or deals, she needs to deal with other men with a normal voice, then it's okay. It's halal. Her voice is not awra. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah, which he mentioned ayat al-tathir, the verse of purification, he said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. which means abide in your houses, stay in your houses, and do not display yourselves like the display of the former times of ignorance, like women who used to go at the time of Jahiliyyah before Islam. They go with their, after they beautify themselves and they wear their beautiful dresses and they go outside to attract men. He said, do not do it. This is part of a'mal al-jahiliyyah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the same ayah, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer, وَأَتِينَا الزَّكَاةِ, and give zakat, وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, obey Allah and His Messenger. And then he said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prescribing these rulings upon you, O wives of the Prophet. And what is the reason, what is the purpose? Allah only intends to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification. So this is a clear evidence that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are members of Ahlul Bayt. So the other people, they say, no, he was talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, using the, you know, the feminine term. He's referring to them with a feminine, addressing them with the feminine preposition. وَقَرْنَا, أَقِمْنَا, أَتِينَا, when talking about women in Arabic language. But when it came to tathir, he said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ. He didn't use the feminine term. He used the masculine form of a plural. Now, what is the answer? The ulama, they said, oh, this is a rule actually in Arabic. Now, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the family of the Prophet, his household, the members of his household. Who is the master of this household? Is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is a male. When a male is combined with a group of women, then in Arabic language, when we don't address them in a feminine form, we address them in a masculine form. This is a rule in grammar, in Arabic grammar. And that's it. And the problem is solved. The term Ahlul Bayt came in the Quran in two places. This one is one of them. And the second place came in Surah Hud, Ayah 73. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the reaction of Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when she received the news that she will have a baby. Allah will bless her with a baby. His name is Ishaq. And then Ishaq will have a child and his name will be Yaqub. That was glad tiding, good news given to the family of Ibrahim. But she was an old lady. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was an old man at the time. So Sarah was amazed. And she said to the angels, actually the angels were talking to her, giving her the good news of a new baby in the family. So she was amazed and she said, how come? Yani I'm an old lady and my husband is an old man. So the malaika said, قَالُوا أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. So he said, the angel said, are you amazed at the decree of Allah? May the mercy of Allah and His blessings be upon you, people of the house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used alaykum. He addressed the malaika, addressed Sarah. She is a woman in a masculine form here. Why? Because they have in mind her husband. They are talking about the whole house, Ibrahim and his wife Sarah. Even though they were talking to a woman, but they use the masculine form because Ibrahim is included in the family. They're talking about the whole family. So this is a proof when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat tathir used the masculine form, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is included in the family because he's the master of the house. Yes, the ayat are about his wives, but he's the master of the house. And when a male is included, then the Quran or in the Arabic language, we address the group in a masculine form. So this mas'ala is clear, inshaAllah. There is another dalil from Al-Bukhari. When Rasulullah ﷺ got married with Zainab. These matters are important, ya ikhwan. Because you'll find people, as I said, who will tell you that the only members of his house are Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima and his and their two sons, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. And all of them are excluded. Actually, only the descendants of Al-Hussein are radiallahu anhu, are Ahlul Bayt, and that's it. And they exclude many people from Ahlul Bayt. Anyway, so this is a hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. When he got married with Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, Anas radiallahu anhu was narrated this hadith. He said a banquet of bread and meat was held on the occasion of the marriage of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Zainab bint Jahsh. And I was sent to invite people to come to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and eat. It was a kind of a wedding, right? So he said, I started inviting people and people started coming in groups. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had small rooms, so he cannot invite the whole community at one time. He didn't have a big hall, alayhi salatu wasalam. Small rooms, so people were coming in groups, coming to his house and eat, and then they leave. So a group of Sahaba would come and eat, and then they leave. Until Anas said, O Messenger of Allah, I do not find anyone to invite. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, carry away the remaining food. And then a bunch of three persons, stayed in the house chatting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed them in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, by the way. They didn't pay attention to Rasulullah ﷺ that they need to leave, eat and leave. He needs some freedom, some time with his family. But they stayed in the house chatting and talking. Three people, three from the Sahaba. I don't know their names. But this is the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. And then the Prophet ﷺ left that room and he went to the room of Aisha. And he said, peace and Allah's mercy be on you, ya Ahlul Bayt. He was talking to Aisha. Peace and blessing of Allah upon you, ya Ahlul Bayt. It was talking to Aisha radiallahu anha. And she replied, peace and the mercy of Allah be upon you too. How did you find your wife? So Aisha is asking him about his new wife, Zainab. May Allah bless you. This is what she said. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the desire to get married with Zainab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to get married with Zainab. You have to get married. It's an obligation. Why? Could you tell me why? Naam?
Because she was his son's,
so she was married with whom?
Zayd
ibn Haritha. So at that time they had, you know, the habit of adoption, the practice of adoption, and if someone adopts a son, then he becomes his son. So it becomes haram for him to get married with his wife after he passes away or after he divorces her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to break this jahili practice. They are not your children. Okay, you can marry with his wife after he divorces her. And that's what and it came, and it has to come through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's the example for this ummah. And Allah told him, you have to get married with her, it's an obligation. So anyway, he got married with her here. And then he went to the dwelling places of all the other wives. And he kept saying the same thing. Assalamu alaykum. Salamullahi alaykum wa barakatuhu ya ahlal bayt. Talking to his wives. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Okay? And this is another proof that his wives are part of his family. In Sahih Muslim, there is a famous hadith of Zayd ibn al-Arqam. Zayd ibn al-Arqam mentioned this hadith when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at Ghadir Khum. Ghadir Khum is a place between Mecca and Medina where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يعني أذكركم الله بأهل بيتي أذكركم الله بأهل بيتي. When he talked to the Sahaba and he said, I remind you of Allah concerning the rights of my family. And he repeated this three times. So they ask him, Zayd, his wives, who are his Ahlul Bayt, who are the members of his family, are they his wives? And he said, his wives are among the people of his household. But here, Rasulullah ﷺ meant those who were forbidden to receive the zakat after him. And he mentioned four families, the five families that I mentioned in the beginning of the lecture. the family of Aqil and Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib. We'll talk about them inshallah. Banu Hashim, or do they have someone else? So now, as Sunni Muslims, now it is established, well established for us, there is no doubt for us that his wives are part of his family. If I ask you about your family, do you live with your family here in Calgary? Automatically you will understand that I'm asking you most likely about your wife and children, right? This is obvious. So it is well established in the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that his wives will be in Jannah. They are Ahlul Bayt. They are Ahlul Bayt. They are members of his house. The second segment of Ahlul Bayt are Ali radiallahu anhu, Fatima, and their two sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And by the way, Ali ibn Abi Talib has had many sons. Some ulama, they said around 17 or 18. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And one of them, his name is Abu Bakr. And two of them, their names is Umar. And two of them, their names is Uthman. And the rest, they have different names. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But here, we're talking about Al-Hasan and Hussein because they are the children of Fatima. And Hassan, Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima had four children. They had Hassan and Hussein, and they had Kulthum and Zainab. And who is the husband of Kulthum? Do you know that? Kulthum, the daughter of Ali, got married with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. They believe that he is the enemy of Ahlul Bayt. Right? He got married with Kulthum, the daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So now what is that? They are called, this family, they are special family. They are special family. We believe that they are special family. They are an important part of Ahlul Bayt. And they are called Ahlul Kisa, or the people of the cloak, or the people of the mantle. And the story was, their story was collected or narrated by Imam Muslim in Sahih Muslim, and it was narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha. So Allah, she said, Allah's messenger went out one morning wearing something, yani with a striped cloak of black, the black camel's hair. Yani made of material that was made of a camel's hair, wallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Al-Hasan came. Al-Hasan ibn Ali came running to his grandfather, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he wrapped him inside the mantle. Al-Hasan, radiallahu anhu. Then she said, then Al-Husayn came. And he wrapped him also under his mantle, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then came Fatima, and he took her inside the mantle. And then came Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he took him under this mantle, the whole family. So there were five. It was a big mantle. There were five. It's called Al-Kisa in Arabic. And this happened after this ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed. Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed after Ghazwat Al-Ahzab, which took place, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, in the fifth year of the Hijrah, right? Ghazwat Al-Ahzab. So this surah was revealed after that. After this ayah was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayat al-tathir, he brought this family and he recited this ayah, innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahla al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tutheera. Allah only intends to remove any abomination from you, ahla al-bayt, or members of the household, and wants to purify you with extensive purification. So now here Salama was present. Salama, she was one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "I should be with you, O Rasulullah." فَقَالَ لَهَا أَنْتِ عَلَى خَيْرٍ. You are on a goodness, on the path of goodness. In a different version, أَنْتِ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ. You are one of the wives of the Prophet. And why he didn't take her inside the mantle? Because she is not a mahram to Ali, right? Ali is not a mahram to Salama. Salama, she's the wife of the Prophet. She's not the mother of Fatima. If she was the mother of Fatima, she would be mahram to Ali. Who is the mother of Fatima? Is Khadija, right? Okay? So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the ulama of Ahl Sunnah, they believe that You know, this act from Rasulullah ﷺ was not meant to exclude his wives or exclude the rest of the family, his family members, the members of his family, and include only these four people, Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein. They said his wives are already purified by the ayah of Tathir in Surah Al-Ahzab. There is no need for him to make dua because he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, these are my family, so purify them with extensive purification. Making dua to Allah. Saying, Ya Allah, include them in Ayat al-Ahzab. Because Ayat al-Ahzab was about whom? About his wives, radiallahu anha, anhunna. Radiallahu anhunna. So, may Allah be pleased with them. So Rasulullah ﷺ wanted this special family of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma ajma'een and Hussein, Hassan and Hussein to be included in this blessing, in this special gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His wives are already purified by the ayah of Tathir in Surah Al-Ahzab, but he wanted to include this family. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. طيب. So the family of Ali and Fatima and their two sons and Hassan and Hussein are important members, as I said. Important members because of this hadith and some other adilla. At the time of Mubahala also, because all his descendants, maybe Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew but that all his descendants will be through Al-Hassan and Hussein. He wanted to send a message to the Muslim community that these are my descendants. Yani his descendants will be through this family. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. The story of al-mubahala. You know what is al-mubahala? Al-mubahala, if you have a controversy with two groups having a controversy about something, and then they invoke Allah's curse upon the one who is not saying the truth. So he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Christians of Najran who came to al-Madinah. He invited them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, explained to them about Isa alayhi salam, the nature of Isa, that he was a human, he was the son of Mary, he was not the son of God, and explained to them the deen of Allah. Tawheed, right? And he gave them time to think about it. And they stayed in his masjid, he treated them well, they were highly respected because they were guests, the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Christians of Najran. Then they decide not to accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, to stay as Christians. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you have doubt about what I called you to, what I invite you to, let's do mubahala. Invite your families, your wives and your children. I'll invite my family. And he called Al Hassan and Al Hussein and Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhu. So all these ahadith, all these adilla, in the perspective of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to show to the ummah that the family of Ali and Fatima are an important segment of his Ahlul Bayt. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. طيب, we believe that all of them will be in Jannah. We believe that Ali will be in Jannah, Fatima in Jannah, Al-Hassan and Hussein and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who believed in him and who followed his path. There are people, some of his descendants, who did not follow his path. We know that his uncle Abu Lahab will be in hellfire. He did not accept the deen. Abu Talib. Actually, most of his uncles did not pass away as Muslims, except for Al-Hamza and Al-Abbas radiallahu anhuma. But Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah did not believe that this ayah meant exclusively the family of Ali radiallahu anhu. And also they did not believe that this ayah means that they are infallible. It does not mean that they are infallible, because they took from this ayah that they are infallible. You know what does infallible mean? They do not commit mistakes. They do not commit sins. Right? They said this ayah does not. And what is the dalil? What is the dalil that... Because this ayah is talking about purification. Right? If it means that they are infallible, then we are all infallible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when was talking about the ayah of tahara, wudu and tayammum, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only intends to purify you. Talking about the believers, not the family of the Prophet. In Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the zakat, about the believers, every member of the community who is able to give zakat. He said, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. About the believers, not the family of the Prophet. Take from their wealth an amount of zakat. And what is the purpose of the giving this zakat? To purify our wealth and purify our hearts from stinginess, from shuh, right? So this zakat is a means of purification for every believer. But it doesn't mean that we are infallible, we don't commit mistakes and sins, right? So they believe, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ulama Ahl Sunnah, that this ayah does not mean that they are infallible. It basically means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed those sharia rulings upon the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to purify them from sins, you know, from sins. And he wanted the family of Ali and Fatima and Hussein to be included in this blessing. The third group of Ahlul Bayt, so we had his wives, we had the family of Ali radiallahu anhu Fatima, they are an important segment of his of Ahlul Bayt, and we had the third group now. Now the third group, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they had two opinions about who is the third group. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and Al-Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhim, and Imam Ahmad, in one of version of his in his madhab, he has two versions in his madhab, they believe that only Banu Hashim are members of the third group. His wives, family of Ali, they are from Banu Hashim. So basically his wives and Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim, who are Banu Hashim? They are the children of Hashim, his grandfather Hashim. But let's talk about the two opinions and then we talk about who is Hashim and who is the other person. And Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i, and some other scholars, they believe that the third group includes Banu Hashim, the children of Hashim, and Al-Muttalib, not Abdul Muttalib, Al-Muttalib. So who are Banu Al-Muttalib? Rasulullah ﷺ, his great-grandfather is Abdu Manaf. Abdu Manaf has four children. He had Hashim, Al-Muttalib, Abdu Shams, who is the grandfather of Banu Umayyah. Because Umayyah is the son of Abdu Shams. So Banu Umayyah, Abu Sufyan, Ibn Harb, Muawiyah, Ibn Abu Sufyan, all Banu Umayyah, they are the cousins of Rasulullah ﷺ, because their father, great-grandfather is Abdu Shams, who is the brother of Hashim. And he had Nawfal. He had four sons. Abdu Manaf. We say he is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abdu Manaf. Right? So Abdu Manaf had four children. As I said, Hashim, Nawfal, Al-Muttalib, and Abdu Shams. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i, and some other scholars, they said the third group of Ahlul Bayt, they are Banu Hashim and Banu Al-Muttalib. They excluded the children of Abd Shams and the children of Nawfal from the children of Abd Manaf. There is a reason for that, we'll talk about it. Now, Banu Hashim, they are the children of Hashim, and his name, his real name is not Hashim. His nickname is Hashim, his name is Amr. And he was a leader in his people, he was known, he had been known for the practice of crumbling bread for the Hujjaj. And crumbling in Arabic language, hashama yahshimu. Okay, he had people working for him. He didn't do it with his hands. But he had people working for him, so he was in charge of feeding the hujjaj. Whether they are hundreds of thousands or thousands, he was in charge of that. Every leader in Mecca was in charge of something at that time. Hashim, whose name is Amr. He's the great-grandfather of Rasulullah ﷺ. He was in charge of feeding the Hujjaj, feeding them, giving them bread with soup, with water, everything. So, هَشَمَ يَحْشِمُ بِاللُّغَ الْعَرَبِيَّ يَكْسِرُ الْخُبْزِ وَيَخْلِطُهُ بِالْمَرَقِ. So, we got from this fi'l, هَشَمَ يَحْشِمُ, to crumble, the word Hashim. So, it's a nickname. His name is Amr. He's the one who started the two journeys of Quraysh. The two trading trips of Quraysh, لِإِلَى فِي قُرَيْشِ إِلَى فِيهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. So they used to go to Syria, to the area of Hisham, and the other time they used to go to Yemen. He's the one who established these two trading trips, Hashim. And how did he get Abdul Muttalib? He decided one time to go to the area of Hisham on a trading trip. He stopped in the city of Al-Madina. He got married with a woman from Banu Najjar. Her name is Salma, from the city of Medina. At that time it was called Yathrib. And then he stayed with her for a month or so. He decided to go back to the area of Hisham, and he died in the area of Gaza, now in Palestine, Gaza, in the year 497 in the Christian era. He passed away there. She got pregnant after he passed away. After he went to Gaza, she got pregnant. She got a child after 1 year. She got a child and she named him Shaybatul Hamd. And that is Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he grew up in the city of Al-Madina. Now his uncle Al-Muttalib, who is the brother of Hashim, was in charge of feeding the Hujjaj, taking the position of his brother Hashim, who passed away in Gaza. Al-Muttalib, he heard about his nephew, who is Shaybat al-Hamd, that he is now a teenager in the city of Medina. So he decided to go to the city of Medina and bring him back to Mecca, his nephew. He went there to the city of Medina, and when he met him, he started crying, Al-Muttalib, the uncle of Abdul Muttalib, Al-Muttalib. So he decided to bring him, placed him on his camel behind him, and he decided to bring him back to Mecca. The boy refused. He said, no, I'm not going to go with you. I have to talk to my mom. And he went to talk to his mom, and she refused to let him go to the city of Mecca. But he insisted. And he was trying, he managed to convince her. He said, he's going to the city of Mecca to restore the authority of his father and to live near the sacred house, Al-Kaaba. So she accepted. She accepted to let her boy go. When he was going back to Mecca, Al-Muttalib, the people of Mecca looked at him coming back with a teenager, with a son. They thought that he bought a slave and he's bringing him back to the city of Mecca. So they said, this is Abdul Muttalib, the slave of Al-Muttalib. But Al-Muttalib told them, no, this is not a slave, this is my nephew, the son of Hashim. But some of them kept on calling him Abdul Muttalib. And it seems that he did not mind. Until in Mecca he was known with this name. People forgot about his real name, Shaybat al-Hamd, and they kept calling him Abdul Muttalib. That is the grandfather of Rasulullah ﷺ. So now Al-Muttalib is the uncle of Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah ﷺ. So basically he is the uncle of Al-Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah ﷺ. But Nawfal and Abdul Shams are also the uncle of Rasulullah, uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are the brothers of Hashim. But what happened is, there are some events that took place during the time of Jahiliyyah. Nawfal wanted to take the position of Abdul Muttalib, because after that Al-Muttalib went to Yemen on a trading trip and he passed away in Yemen. So who became in charge of this of feeding the Hujjaj, and who took his position? His nephew, Abdul Muttalib. He became a leader in his people, one of the leaders. But one of their leaders, Nawfal, and I'm not sure 100%, but that could be Nawfal, the son of Abdul Manaf, wanted to take his position. And there was a fight between the two. And his uncles from Medina came to support him. And his authority was restored again. It was given back to him again, Abdul Muttalib. So at this time, the children of Al-Muttalib stood by Abdul Muttalib, and they had an alliance together. The family of Nawfal and Abd Shams, they had an alliance together against them. Right? This is one event. They said when the Quraysh boycotted the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Banu Hashim, you know, in the Shi'b of Mecca 3 years, the children of Al-Muttalib were with them. Okay? So now we have a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The دليل في الإمام الشافعي رضي الله رحمه الله it's okay to say radiyallahu anhu. It is a dua. If you say it as a dua, radiyallahu anhu, it's okay. Rasulullah sallallahu at the time of Khaybar, Ghazwat Khaybar, he gave, you know, the qurba, the qaraba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ghanima, you know, the war booty has to be divided into 4 shares to be given to those soldiers who attended the ma'raka, the battle. And the fifth, 20% is given, it is divided into 5 shares. One of them is for Allah and His Messenger, which is for the Muslim state, Bayt al-Mal. And the second share of this fifth should be given to the family of the Prophet. Why? Because they don't have the right to take from the zakat. So if they are in need, if they are, they need some help, some financial support, there must be some financial source for them in the Muslim state. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a law, regulation in Surah Al-Anfal, that they have a right in this fifth of the ghanima, which is fifth of the fifth, yani it would end up to be 4%. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time after Ghazwat Khaybar, he gave the children of Hashim from this ghanima, and he gave the children of Banu al-Muttalib. The children of al-Muttalib. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So the other children of Abd Shams and Nawfal, and among them Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, he's from the descendant of Banu Umayyah, he's from Banu Umayyah, Uthman. And Jubayr ibn Mat'im, he was radiyallahu anhu from the descendant of Nawfal. They came to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, you have given, yani Banu Hashim, we understand, they are your family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have to give your family. But how about the children of al-Muttalib? We have the same relationship, they have the same relationship to you, like we are all cousins from the same grandfather, Abdu Manaf. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement, he said, إِنَّمَا بَنُوا الْمُطَّلِبُ وَبَنُوا هَاشِمْ شَيْءٌ وَاحِدٌ. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib are one thing. And then he said, إِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُفَارِقُونَ فِي جَاهِلِيَّةٍ وَلَا فِي إِسْلَامٍ. So he said, they neither left us in Jahiliyyah nor in Islam. So Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib were together all the time, at the time of Jahiliyyah and at the time of Islam. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to give to the children of Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib. This is the dalil of Imam al-Shafi'i. And Imam al-Shafi'i, he's from the descendant of al-Muttalib. He's not from the descendant of Banu Hashim. They said he's from Quraysh, Imam al-Shafi'i. But he's from the descendant of al-Muttalib. So his lineage meets with the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Abdu Manaf, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi. So he is Muttalibi. They said he is Muttalibi. He must have made an extensive research about this matter. And that's why his opinion is that Banu al-Muttalib and Banu Hashim are one family, and they are forbidden to receive the zakat, but they have a right from other sources, like they have a right from al-Khumus. If there is a war, if there is no war, then the governor, the ruler, the Muslim ruler in the Muslim state has to give them from the government has to spend on them. Some ulama, they said, if there is no help coming to them, then it's okay to give them zakat. And I believe, I feel comfortable with this opinion. Like they are the family of the Prophet. They're not allowed to zakat, to take from the zakat, because there is something, another source available to them, right? But if this source is not available to them, then wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and we should give them from the zakat, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. If you meet someone, you are sure that he's from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, then you can give him from the zakat. What are their rights? Huquq Ahl al-Bayt. The first right is to love them and respect them, treat them with respect, honor them. You know, the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith sahih in Bukhari, أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِي أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. So as Muslims, we have to keep in mind this wasiyah. This is the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remind you of Allah concerning the members of my house. I remind you of Allah concerning the members of my house. He repeated this 2 times or 3 times. Of course, there are many people who claim that they are from the family of the Prophet, but their claim is not authentic. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. You know, nowadays it's very difficult. It's easy in some areas, in some countries to verify the lineage of some people, some families. They are well known. They have their family trees and they have everything is recorded. And actually the Ottoman, during the Ottoman Empire, one of the caliphs tried to actually write a book and include in this book all the different families that belong to the family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the descendants of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this book is called Kitabul Ashraf. And they said it is available now in one of the museums in Istanbul. I'm not sure, the city of Istanbul or Ankara in Turkey. But the book is available. And it's called Kitabul Ashraf. Kitabul Ashraf. Al-Ashraf means the honorable members of his family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So basically, our manhaj, our madhab, is the middle path between two extremes. Every Sunni Muslim has to understand this. People are divided concerning the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into three groups. The middle path is the path of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And there is another path that went to the extreme, those who exaggerated in them, and they are regarding their status. Some of them believe that they will take people to account on the Day of Judgment. They believe that they are infallible. They have some weird beliefs regarding the family of the Prophet ﷺ. This is an extreme way, an extreme method, and it is rejected by the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be accepted by Allah. The other extreme, there is a group of people, they are called Nawasib. And those people, they hate the family of the Prophet, and they insult them. We don't agree with them, and we said that this is a bigger problem. It's like insulting the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the same thing. Or maybe worse. But we believe that the Sahaba and the family of the Prophet are the same. Okay, they are the same community. They loved each other. They respected each other. There was no issues at that time. There were no issues between them at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, at the time of the Khulafa, and after that, يعني during the three first generations, wallahu ta'ala alam. So the path of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the middle path. Love them, respect them. We have to know their rights, but we don't exaggerate, you know, concerning their status. We don't say that they are infallible, or they are, or they will take people to account on the Day of Judgment. We don't believe in that. It is Allah who will take people to account on the Day of Judgment. Only Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, people will be given the right to make shafa'a, but shafa'a will be given to prophets and messengers and to the pious people of this ummah. And on the top of the list, they are the pious members of his family, alayhi salatu wassalam. The second rite, which is something we do, we don't pay attention to it, but we do it every day in our salah. This is their rite. And this is a sort of a great honor for them, for the family, the members of his family. Whenever we make salat, we do the Ibrahimi salat. Whenever we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless His messenger and send His peace and blessings upon him, we include His family. All His family are included in this dua, in this daily dua, that we do it in every salat. When we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Wabarik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. And this Salat, Ibrahimi Salat, has six versions, six or seven versions. Imam al-Sheikh al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi, has included them in his book, Sifat Salat, al-Nabi, alayhi salatu wassalam. And one of the versions, it says, اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد إنك حميد مجيد. We got it from the ayah in Surah Hud when the angels were talking to Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim. إنه حميد مجيد. So, O Allah, send your peace and upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, as you send peace, your peace and your blessings upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. Verily you are full of praise and glory. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family as you blessed Ibrahim and his family. Verily you are full of praise and glory. This is something that we say every day in our salah. This is one of their rights and it is a source of a great honor and it is a great bounty because Muslims everywhere are making dua for them on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And this is one of their rights. This is Fadlullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them because of their relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it includes those, the pious people among his family. Yani the believers who believed in him and followed his sunnah alayhi salatu wa sallam. There are people from his family who did not follow his sunnah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Those will have a different story on the Day of Judgment, Allahu a'lam. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. The third right is, the ulama said that they don't have the right to give zakat, to take from the zakat. This is what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن آل محمد لا نأخذ من هذه الزكاة. ليسنا لنا حق. We don't have right. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said. And one time he saw Al-Hasan taking one date from the money of the zakat. People, they give zakat in kind and money at that time. So at that time, they used to receive different types of zakat. Sheep, dates, fruits. So Al-Hasan came and he got one date and he wanted to put it in his mouth. Al-Hasan ibn Ali. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Bakhin, throw it away. We don't have the right to use the money coming from zakat. We don't have the right to do that. But they have to, as I said, the Muslim rulers have to give them from one share from the war booty, from the fifth. One fifth is divided into five shares, and they have one share. So fifth of the fifth, that should be the source of their income if they need help, if they are in need of financial help. If there is no war booties, then they should be given from, the government should spend on them. The Muslim ruler should give them, should suffice their needs. And that was a practice of all the Khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Nas'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuwafiqana li kulli khair. Allahumma inna nushhiduka anna nuhibbu ala bayti Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nataqarrabu ila Allahi bihubbihim, wa nataqarrabu ila Allahi bihubbi sahabatihi radiallahu anhum. وبحب أهل الإيمان والتقوى نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير جزاكم الله خيرا. One question or two and then we do the adhan for salah. Sorry, I delayed the salah for the brother. I think raised his hand before you. معلش, the brother.
I think we're at the same time.
It's up to you. I mean, you're faced. Okay, go ahead, one of you.
Tanzania, there we have so many tribes or people who are known to be Sharif. They call them Sharif or this Sharif. You need to make dua, ask him to come to make dua for you. It's like that. So this Sharif, but they're in Africa. Yeah, can that happen? Can it be offending?
They are African, you mean?
Yeah, Africans.
There are many Yemenis, Allahu A'lam. I don't know about these people in your country. But there are many Yemenis who traveled to Africa and they stayed in Africa. And there are people who traveled from India. There are some people in India who claim that they are from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they moved to Africa. So Allahu A'lam. Yani they are everywhere, the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As I said, some of them are well known. They belong to the family, like Al-Adarisa, the children of Idris al-Akbar in Morocco and the western part of Algeria. The Al-Hashimiyun in Urdun, in Jordan. Banu Hashim in Iraq, also in Iraq and Arabian Peninsula. There are many families. They are everywhere. But it's hard to verify the lineage, the family lineage of everyone. If they have the family trees, if they are available, and they are kept, well kept and preserved, then they have to, I think there are sources now to contact, and you contact them and try to verify. One of them is, I said, the Book of Al-Ashraf that is kept in Turkey. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But they are trying to, different families from different countries, now they are establishing websites and trying to recognize each other and look for their cousins, you know, in different countries and verify the claims of different families. But it cannot be done, يعني, fully verified. There may be millions now or thousands, Allahu alam. It's a big number. يعني, Ali, as I said, he had around, radiallahu anhu, 17 or 18 sons. Ali, radiallahu anhum. Yeah, so يعني, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the family of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So, I have a question about Rasulullah, father and mother. They passed away before Islam. So, they will go Jannah or?
Allahu alam, but there is a hadith about the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he will be, hadith sahih, that he will be in hellfire, but his father. But Allahu alam, يعني, this hadith is there, so we have to believe in it. يعني he told, one man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him about his father. He didn't give him the answer. When he went away, then he said, call him back. And he said, Abi wa abuka fi nar. He said, my father and your father will be in hellfire. So Allahu alam, but his mother, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for two permissions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was passing by her grave, he asked the first permission to allow him to go and visit her grave. The second permission to make istighfar for his mother, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his mother. And he allowed him to visit her grave, but he did not allow him to make istighfar for her. Because she did not pass away as a Muslima, because there was no Islam at that time. So these people, they are called Ahlul Fatra. Ahlul Fatra, the people who lived in a period where there was no access to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No access to any prophet or messenger. Right? So these people will be tested. The ulama, there is a hadith, Sahih al-Aswad ibn Sari' rawa hadha al-hadith, they will be tested on the Day of Judgment. So Allahu alam about their destiny and their fate, Allahu alam. Many Muslims in the old days have wasted a lot of time, you know, discussing the fate of his parents, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's a mas'ala that does not benefit us. Because it's ilm al-ghayb. We have no access to this knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them on the Day of Judgment. But there are Muslims who had Muslims, different groups, who used to, you know, fight and have long discussions about, you know, his parents, alayhi salatu wasalam. No one can argue about his, مثلا, uncle Abu Lahab. Allah said he will be in hellfire. About the other uncles who passed away before Islam, Allahu alam. Allahu alam about their destiny. We know about Hamza, he is the master of all shuhada, his uncle Hamza, Sayyidu Shuhada'i Hamza, radiallahu anhu. And Al-Abbas was a great sahabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to treat him like a father. Like a father, Al-Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He used to treat him with respect, like a father. And he's a great sahabi. So these are his uncles. We know that they will be in Jannah, inshaAllah. And, you know, but the rest of his families, if we have no knowledge, that we can say anything. We leave their fate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Yes. Pardon? They had, I think, Waraqah ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija, was Christian. But the people of Makkah were pagans. So they had some Jewish tribes in Medina, the area of Medina, some Christians in the area of Najran, southern part of Saudi Arabia now. But they had no access to Christianity or to Tawheed. You know what I mean? They were pagans. Yeah, that's right.
So if somebody was like a Christian at that time, they believe in Allah and the way what Isa al-Islam told them, then they were okay, right?
Yeah, of course. If someone followed the deen of Isa without any tahrif, without any change or alteration, and he did not believe that Isa is the son of God, He used to believe that Isa is a prophet of Allah, and he worshipped only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a believer, and he'll be among the mu'mineen, the believers, on the Day of Judgment. He will pass away as a believer before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a prophet, then he has to believe in our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
After getting
message.
After
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the message, then he had to believe in, if he disbelieved in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it will be like he disbelieved in all the other prophets, including Isa, and he will be treated as a disbeliever. But before the coming of Islam, or from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then if he believed in Isa alayhi wa sallam and followed the religion of Tawheed, then he is a believer, he is a member of this Ummah, the Ummah of Tawheed, the Ummah of Islam, the Ummah of all Prophets and Messengers, and he will be in Jannah on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah. Ta'ala. Tayyib, the story of, we finish with that inshaAllah. Ma'alish, I'm sorry, yani we kept you late tonight. The story of Ubaidullah, there is one brother who asked me about Ubaidullah, Ibn Umar. You know, we said when I talked about Umar ibn Khattab, Ubaidullah ibn Umar, I said that he killed Al-Hurmuzan, one Persian guy, and Jufayna, he was a Christian guy. And they said in some versions that he killed the daughter of Abu Lu'lu'a. Abu Lu'lu'a, he was a Persian who killed Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So Ubaidullah ibn Umar was angry. He got angry after he knew that these people might have, you know, agreed about the killing of his father. And what was his proof? Because the brother asked me, what is the proof? Because some people did not believe in that. In which sources is mentioned this story. So there is one famous hadith that Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr, he passed by these three people. Hurmuzan, who was a Persian who accepted Islam at the time of Umar. Jufayna, who was a Christian. And Abu Lu'lu'a, who was the servant of Al-Mughira. And Abu Lu'lu'a is the guy who killed Umar. They were talking to each other secretly. Secretly talking to each other. And then Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr passed by them, so they got surprised. They were surprised by his presence. And the same knife or dagger that Abu Lu'lu'a used to kill Umar fell down. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr was able to notice this knife. He saw it on the ground. And these three people were talking secretly to each other. So Abdul Rahman, he said, I saw this knife yesterday. These three people were talking secretly. They were surprised when they saw me. And this same knife fell down when they saw me. So Ubaidullah ibn Umar heard him talking, making this testimony. He took his sword and he killed these three people. Two people, Al-Hurmuzan and Jufayna, who was Christian, and the daughter of Abu Lu'lu'a. Now, this story is mentioned in different sources of history, different books. Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq. Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani is a book of hadith. And there is a Tabaqat ibn Sa'd. It's a source of history and hadith too. And there is Al-Kamil ibn Athir, book of history. At-Tariq al-Tabari. All these books mention this story. Al-Bidayah wa al-Nihaya ibn Kathir, he mentioned this story. And he said actually the first problem that faced Uthman after he became a Khalifa is the fate of Abdul Ubaidullah ibn Umar, because he was in jail. They were able to catch him and they put him in jail. So he said the first, Abdul ibn Kathir, he said the first problem that faced Uthman after he became a Khalifa is how, what to do with Ubaidullah ibn Umar, who committed this crime. Because he didn't have the right to act this way or behave this way at the time. And there was two opinions, discussion between two groups of the Sahaba. Most of the Sahaba and the Muhajirin, they said he should be killed because he killed someone like Al-Hurmuzan, he was Muslim without a proof. And another group of people, he said you cannot kill his son. Umar was like buried today and the next day you're going to kill his son and you could be going to create fitna and division in the community. So Uthman, he said, I'll take care of their blood money. So he paid their blood money. So this story is mentioned in different, as I said, sources. But there was one scholar who is an authority in his field. He's called Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki. Ibn Abdul Barr, he used to live in Andalus, and he is the one who wrote these big books about explanation of Muwatta Malik, like 21 volumes over there, Tamheed, and he's an authority. He's a great scholar of Hadith. He said, قصة قتل عبيد الله بن عمر لهؤلاء الثلاثة مضطربة. He said, this story is not well preserved, which means that some people maybe were able to add few things to it. And I didn't have the time to, you know, to make an extensive research about it, but it is mentioned in different resources, and the brother is here. I will tell you about the resources later on after the Salat. You asked me last time about the sources, the story of Ubaidullah ibn Umar killing the three people. Right? جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.